T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. Mark Reardon.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin,
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Daddy. Happy birthday to you. I love you, Daddy. I'm Alexa. I love you so much. Happy birthday. Bye.
I'm glad she identified herself, because I don't know if I would have recognized the voice. No, I knew that was my daughter. How'd you guys get that? Thank you very much. That was a surprise. Fred, were you behind that?
That was Mr. Fred.
No. Yeah. Actually, your wife Becky was behind it. She did it yesterday afternoon before you got home, and I think it sent it off to me, and I got it this morning.
Well, that's nice. Really sweet.
Happy birthday.
That is sweet. Well, yeah, Andrew, happy birthday. Andrew completely sucked up. You guys are dead to me, because he gave me a bag of Reese's Dark Thins as a present. What I get from you guys?
Not the usual.
I have a bag of candy out there.
I'll take it. Well, that's very nice. Yeah, this is one of those birthdays we don't like to spend a whole lot of time on, because there's a 5 and a 6. It's not the worst combination of those numbers. No offense to those of you who are on Medicare right now, but it's way too close to the, because now you feel like you're on the other side, and all I can think of is turning 60 instead of being in the 50s.
You
is that just me?
Four years is a long time.
Yeah, it's not that long. It is not that long. All right. Well, I appreciate the birthday greetings. We are off and running this afternoon. There's a bunch of things I want to get updated on. We have Tom Price coming up, former HHS secretary, also a member of Congress. Look, he was a member of Congress from Georgia, so he's going to have some perspectives on some of the things that are happening down there. Ian Scher from CNET this afternoon. I want to talk about Netflix passwords. They're cracking down on that. We have the attorney general set, right, Fred? Eric Schmidt?
Yeah, Eric Schmidt's going to be on at 4:25. He filed an immigration lawsuit with Texas today, so that's a pretty big issue.
Well, there's some gun issues there as well. And Charlie Gasparino, senior correspondent for Fox Business Network, in the 5 o'clock hour. Ricky Horton to talk baseball. So a lot on tap. I do want to get an update here on what's happening in Minnesota with the shooting case. So the officer has now been identified. The officer and the police chief have, I guess you could say they resigned, but I think they were sort of forced out. This is the mayor. What's this guy's name?
Mike Elliott.
Mike Elliott. You guys were making fun because he's got a hat on, but the hat says Brooklyn Center, which is the community up there. He's just doing some tourism outreach. That's all he's doing.
We have received a resignation, a letter from Officer Kim Porter. And in addition to that, we have also received a letter of resignation from the police chief.
All right. Well, that didn't last long, right? They're out of there. The city manager of Brooklyn Center actually said, well, we need to wait and let's have due process. And that person was fired as well. Here's the mayor again.
The officer stepping down has the effect, I think, of speaking to one of the things that the community, that folks who have been out here protesting have been calling for. And that is that the officer should be relieved of her duties. And so, you know, I'm hoping that this will help bring some calm to the community. Although, you know, I think ultimately people want justice. They want, you know, full accountability under the law. And so that's what we're going to continue to work for. We have to, you know, make sure that justice is served.
You know, one of the things I said yesterday, and I've looked into this a little bit on whatever criminal charges would be filed. Andy McCarthy wrote about this morning, and apparently there is going to be a window, and I would expect criminal charges to be filed somewhere along the lines of like negligent homicide. But negligence is the word that I saw used most often. I mean, this was a cop that had a lot of experience. We're going to talk with an officer, Philip Holloway, who is a legal analyst, former officer. I mean, how does that happen? If you're trained for 26 years and you've been on the job for that long, how do you grab your service revolver as opposed to your taser? That's basically the question. So if they can prove that this is negligence, which with that amount of training, you would think that someone would be aware. I'm not trying to blame the officer here, because yesterday, now she was responsible for his death, but we pointed out these cops are dealing with things on a regular basis that nobody ever has to deal with. So she's going to be charged. I'm almost certain of it. But that, even that, is not going to satisfy probably the protesters up in, you know, in the Minneapolis area. There's one more cut here from the mayor.
Although things did not unfold the way we thought ultimately they should unfold, we're hoping that we're turning over a new leaf now. I'm confident in that. I think that, you know, we're going to develop an approach that is community-based, that is based on working with the very strong voices in our community.
All right, so that sounds like defund the police to me, which is where they might be heading. But we'll keep you up to date on everything that's happening there as the, you know, the facts sort of develop. Did you guys hear about, there's another case of a kid on an airline who had their parents, basically the parents were booted off the airplane because the kid wouldn't wear a mask. We talked about one of these last week, which seemed kind of outrageous. That was on Spirit Airlines, if I remember correctly,
yes,
as well. And there was every effort to keep the mask on the kid. They eventually, the parents got booted off, and it became a story. So now there's this Southwest situation. Have you heard about this at all, Sue? Are you familiar?
No.
This is a two-year-old. Again, I'm going to have his father sort of describe what's going on here. But it's a two-year-old kid who's on this airplane, Southwest airplane, and won't put the mask on. Now, I have a six-year-old now, but I remember when my daughter, I think I flew with her solo for the first time when she was 2 years old. Mom was living and working in Colorado. We were going back and forth, and this little girl had been on an airplane so many times, but without masks. And I'm trying to think of a situation where I could have kept a mask on a two-year-old. I think it would have been pretty hard. But here's what Dad says about all this. Hang on. I'm trying a different system here, and I have to get used to the buttons. If I press the home button, look at that, it actually worked. Just have to have the right thing that's pulled
before
up here.
Before we got on the plane, the lady at checkout said to make sure that he's got his mask on, because he was running around without his mask on. I had mine on, Michelle had hers on, everybody had their masks on, except for Jackson was running around, and she said, just make sure he's got it on when he boards the plane. They're not gonna let him on the plane if he doesn't have his mask on. And so I said, okay. She said, I don't care if he's fine right now. So she was cool with him being where he was without his mask on at that moment.
Well, and they're pretty serious. Having been on Southwest several times, they make several announcements. And, you know, I think even the rules have changed, because the first couple of times last year when I was on Southwest, even though you had to wear the mask, I don't think they were as insistent as they were in the other times I've flown. In other words, even they wanted you, if I understood the announcements correctly, if you were taking a sip of soda or water, you lower your mask and then you put it back on. Lower it and put it back on. I mean, they made these announcements several times. They wanted people to basically have that impression. So you're going to enforce it, but do you enforce it with a two-year-old?
Before we got on the plane, the lady at checkout said to make sure that he's got his mask on, because he was running around without it.
That's the one I just played. I'm not sure how I did that, Andrew.
Here, I'll come on.
I don't know what.
By the way, the Southwest,
you have to click on it twice.
The Southwest policy looks like it's the same as the other one, right? It has to be two and above. So if this child had a birthday, you know what I mean? If you were 1 year and 11 and a half months, you don't have to. It just seems crazy.
Right. And that's what, remember the dad said that last week. He said, look, I was honest about what my child's age was, and he even bought a ticket for the kid. Didn't really have to do that.
So today, he put the mask on the jetway. He kept it on going into the plane. He kept it on sitting down in the seat on the plane. And we sat there and we looked out the window and we talked about the jet. We talked about the baggage, transportation, and everything else, and everything was going swimmingly. Everything was brilliant. He was sitting there complying with his mask on. Everything was great. Everything was wonderful until it wasn't, when a 2.5-year-old grabbed his mask, threw it off, and said, "That's it."
Yeah, basically, yeah. Jackson decided that he had had enough of that, and he basically says, I'm not doing this anymore. So then it escalates.
He's not wearing his mask. You're going to have to leave the plane. And she's like, "We're trying to put it on, and he won't wear it. I'll see if I can hold it over him." And she's like, "I'm sorry, you're gonna have to go ahead. You'll have to go ahead and leave the plane. You cannot stay on the plane. It's federal regulations. You cannot stay on the plane."
So this is where, you know, you wonder if you can have flexibility. And this is what I encouraged last week. Although, if
the rules
we'll get to
the
this
rule.
In the rule, if
right.
you want to be the rules of the rule. However, the rules probably need to be changed. I'll make a case
yes.
for that here in a second.
And Michelle kept trying, you know, "Ma'am, we got to stay on this plane. Like, we're on the plane. We're trying to get him to wear it. He won't wear it. Just let me, I'll just try to hold, I'll hold over his face. Like, we'll do whatever we got to do." And she said, "No, that's it." She said, "I'm sorry. It's federal regulations. You cannot stay on the plane. You have to leave the plane now."
So I don't know if I blame Southwest, only because I've seen their enforcement and they're not given enough, you know,
leeway
and
no.
flexibility. So if they don't have flexibility, because I think common sense can prevail in situations like this.
"Do things that are a little more out front, but I would do things to preserve and actually take back some power and some freedoms that we've given up, some things, because we have really collectively, as a society, culturally, as humanity, we have completely lost the narrative."
You know, one of the things, and I think it's the last cut here, and this is where I am on this. If you've been vaccinated, if you've had the coronavirus, I know that everyone's concerned about vaccine passports and stuff like that, but a lot of people don't need to wear masks right now. Now, if you don't wear a mask, then you're not doing the right thing and you're not virtue signaling. But he sort of makes the point here on that is, look, I think he even says, "I had the coronavirus. We've had the virus.
We boarded a plane. We who had COVID 3.5 months ago boarded a plane who still are extremely likely to have natural immunity, meaning, again, we can't get COVID. We can't transmit COVID." Okay? So why are we wearing masks in the first place?
Good question.
Why are we social distancing? Why do we have all of these new rules as of the first part of last year?
Good question.
Because we don't want to transmit a deadly virus. If you got people, if you got a 2.5-year-old that cannot get nor especially transmit the virus, why is he being kicked off of a plane?
That is the bottom line. There should not be a rule, and Joe Biden's administration should change the rule right now. And originally, if you remember, I think that this was 10 and under when they first did this. And then for whatever reason, they moved it to 2 and under. And I think that's unreasonable, especially considering how 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds act.
Yeah, that's a little bit much.
I think it's a lot much, and this is probably going to happen more and more often. But you would think that we're getting into a situation that, although all the news today when it comes to COVID is negative, you know, and I'd like to enforce some of the positive. Millions of doses, hundreds of millions of doses worldwide, and with Moderna and the Pfizer, no serious side effects. Instead, the narrative today is about 6 cases out of 6 million with J&J. That we have it backwards, but the media, and we all kind of love the negative, so everyone's going to sort of levitate to the negatives, unfortunately. But that's a problem, especially when things are going pretty well, except for Michigan.
Mark, did you hear what happened to this family?
They had someone come in, and I didn't get to the audio on this, but some guy stepped in and essentially offered to fly them to their destination.
Private pilot. They got to fly on a private plane.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that worked out pretty well for them in the end.
That's the best part of the story.
Former HHS Secretary, former Georgia Congressman Tom Price, coming up, 97.1 FM Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back. Mark Reardon, 97.1 FM Talk. A little later in this hour, my buddy Ricky Horton, Cardinals broadcaster on television and radio, will catch up. I'm just curious just about some of the differences with having fans in the stands, which is different from last year. I'm going to the game tonight, which I'm looking forward to. Haven't been to a live baseball game, and I guess this is so weird because I don't really think I've missed a baseball game in person since I was probably 5 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, now maybe was there a year in there somewhere? I think maybe not. So first game in a little while. Tom Price is with me. He is a doctor, former Health and Human Services Secretary, former member of Congress in Georgia. He's now a senior healthcare policy fellow at the Jobs Creator Network. Wrote a piece that caught my attention about Obamacare, which was 11 years ago. Thought it'd be a good opportunity to have a conversation with Tom. Tom Price, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks so much for having me.
Your state, Georgia, maybe we should start there. You guys have been under the microscope and in the news quite a bit. I don't know if you've noticed that at all.
Kind of the political epicenter, right?
It is. And what are your thoughts on just on what happened with the election law? Look, I've looked into this pretty much. Maybe there's some things in there that I might take issue with, but it just got so mangled and misrepresented in the media.
It's really sad because it's the decisions that have been made on regarding the law and the response to it really have been foolish because they're not based upon any fact or any truth in the law. The fact of the matter is, if you take each and every one of the items that was passed in this law, there is at least another state and sometimes up to 35 other states that are doing precisely the same thing. And so this isn't a draconian bill. It's not a it's not way outside the mainstream. It's just trying to bring some stability and confidence to the election system.
Yeah, it's kind of frightening just for someone like me who's been trying to highlight bias and things in the media for a long time. And then you see something like this and you double down on the notion that the facts really don't matter anymore.
That's exactly right. This is what mob rule looks like. You know, mob rule isn't with just people storming the gates. Mob rule is when people respond, leaders respond, decision makers respond in a way that has no resemblance to what the facts of the matter are. And it's very troubling. I think it's a real threat to our democracy.
So let me ask, just because we hear about the corporate wokeism and all the protests and Major League Baseball pulls out, is any of that, just from your perspective, will that lead to any changes, or will Republicans in Georgia panic, or will they say, no, we're, you know, this is our law and we're sticking to it?
I think most people that look at this objectively and sincerely trying to solve problems recognize that whatever kind of reaction has occurred from the woke side, if you will, the left side, has been a remarkable overreaction and very irresponsible. We used to say that I may disagree with what you say, but I'll fight to the death for your right to say it. But now the left is all about, I may disagree with what you say, and therefore you may not say it or believe it or act upon it. And this is, as I say, this is a very dangerous time in our nation's history.
I've said this many times. Maybe the listener is going to get tired of it, but I've never really felt, certainly until the last year, I would say 10 months, I've never worried about what I might say on the radio getting me in trouble unless I drop an F-bomb or something like that, which has right. happened. We'll kind of go over, gloss over that. That may or may not have happened in the past. But the bottom line is that, you know, I am worried. It doesn't take much to just be, it doesn't even matter what you say. You know, I offer this example, Tom. We have a guy here who's a good friend, and 3 years ago on MLK Jr. Day, and I won't even say the whole thing, he just simply slipped. He didn't even say what he was accused of saying. It became a news story. He's never been on TV since. And the guy literally did nothing wrong. Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're in their crosshairs, or they put you in the crosshairs, then you don't have much hope of surviving, because they know that this mob mentality can do most anything it wants to do right now.
Let's talk about what happened with the ACA and what you're writing about right now. Some of the things you're doing. Look, I had Senator McCaskill on my show so many times many years ago talking about this and how we have to do it to get the premiums to go down. That was, I think, one of the original goals. Those premiums never really went down, and this has not worked as effectively as it was promised, right? So that was 11 years ago, but the criticism on the left has always been, and I've had conversations with former colleagues of yours, like the former House Speaker Paul Ryan, about many of these issues. The accusation is, well, you guys never had anything to replace it.
Yeah, and simply not true. The fact of the matter is that the last thing you need to replace a big, huge government bill with is another big, huge government bill. But that's not to say that there aren't things that need to be done for our healthcare system, because there are. There are some real challenges that we have. But the problem with Obamacare, or with the ACA, is that it was passed on promises of decreasing premiums, decreasing deductibles, decreasing the costs, and improving the affordability, as well as increasing the access. And you'll remember this, saving $2,500 for every family every year, and you can keep your doctor and your insurance plan. Well, none of that happened, and that's the concern that I have. And so you've got Democrats and others on the left who say, well, they recognize that it's not working as they intended, and consequently they want to double down and say, okay, then the government ought to be controlling more of our health care. I would suggest to you that's a poor idea. That if we want true increasing access, true affordability, true choices, and true quality, then the way to do that is to put patients and families and doctors in charge, and not the federal government.
There is no feasible way, though, is there, to do that with the makeup of Congress and the White House right now? Is there?
So you're exactly right. And so what we have to do is to make certain that people understand the consequences of these wonderful sounding phrases like Medicare for all or single payer system or the like. What all of these things mean is that the government controls more of your health decisions and health choices. And that's really the point. The question here is, who decides? Who decides what kind of health care you receive? Who decides what doctor you go to? Who decides where you're treated? Who decides what your health coverage includes? And I would suggest that if the answer to that question is the federal government, that it will not be a system that is as responsive or of the highest quality for patients and their families.
Yeah.
And
here's the problem. Here's the problem with that. It's going to be the federal government.
Well, it will if we continue
Sadly.
Down the path we're on right now. Sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that's a dangerous path. And you see that right now with COVID. One of the reasons that we have these vaccines that have come online is because of the public-private partnership between the federal government and the private sector that in record time brought about these vaccines. There are always some challenges, but this is a remarkable accomplishment. And to say that, no, we don't need the private sector, we just want the federal government running things, it isn't going to work, and it's going to result in lower quality and less access and higher costs to everybody.
You can't say that enough about how big of an accomplishment. I was thinking about this recently, because if we all remember to just a year ago, we were locked down to a certain extent. We're thinking this is going to be, you know, I think best case scenario, folks thought maybe I'll get a shot in late 2021. And there were people getting shots late 2020 and then early 2021. So that is an amazing accomplishment. But you still have, and maybe get your thoughts here before we move on to some other things, just on the state of COVID right now, because a lot of it is confusing. You have Michigan surging, maybe with some variants. You have Texas, which has opened up, which seemingly is doing fine right now. I think I haven't heard much about Georgia along the COVID lines recently. Isn't a lot of this just a little confusing still?
Well, it is, because one, we're a big country. Two, the public health system is basically by states. And so you have different manners of addressing things based upon the state, because that's where the responsibility is for public health. It's not at the federal government primarily. But if you look at the states that locked down to a significant degree, and you compare that to the states that didn't do so as much in terms of an economic lockdown, the results from the incidence of infection and the mortality and all that kind of thing are not significantly different.
Right.
And so the take-home message on that is locking down isn't the solution. That doesn't mean that you don't do things. It means that public health measures, washing your hands, face masks, social distancing, all those kinds of things are incredibly important. And then targeting and making certain that you really decrease the incidence or the likelihood of a super spreader event, which is what likely increases the transmission significantly right now in these states that are having real problems.
Are you surprised that there seems to be a hesitancy on the part of a lot of people still to get the vaccine?
I'm not surprised, but I would just share with folks that I think it's incredibly important as a physician, primarily, but as somebody who was involved in the public policy making for a long time, I think it's incredibly important that people get the vaccine. These vaccines are remarkably safe. They are incredibly effective by and large. I know we've had the challenge with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine today where they recommended stopping the administration of those for a period of time until more study can be done. But and it's important for people to appreciate how, I don't want to say little, but how minimal the problem is for the FDA and the CDC to say that. Six individuals out of over 6 million doses.
That's literally one in a million, by the way. I'm not even good at math, but that's literally one in a million.
I think it's one in 100 million.
Well, see, there you go.
Well, no, it's one in a million. You're absolutely right. But that's how cautious we are. And so I would just encourage everybody that is able to get a vaccine, because that's the thing that will assist us in stamping out and making certain that we can get through this in a shorter period of time.
Tom Price is with me, Dr., former HHS secretary. I want to go back just to the Obamacare stuff real quick, because there's something that is really, it's always bothered me. This goes back to some of the things we were just talking about with the media, because the allegation is made without refutation by the left time and time again that Republicans, and if you're going to dismantle Obamacare or anything, you're going to put these people who have pre-existing conditions and hang them out to dry. They're not going to be able to get health care and they're going to die. Now, I pointed out over period of time, Tom, that federal law already and has for more than 20 years, about 25 years, protected people with pre-existing conditions if they do not gap their health insurance. So if I have health insurance, lose my job, I get on COBRA, or I don't gap my health insurance, that insurance company cannot deny me for pre-existing conditions. That little factoid, which I think is pretty important, never gets mentioned in any of the news stories.
Never gets mentioned. And what also doesn't get mentioned by and large by the mainstream media is that I don't know of a single Republican that is opposed to covering pre-existing.
That's an excellent point. Right. That's an excellent point. And there's not, because they're not opposed to that. But
because that's one of the major ways that you actually provide quality coverage and quality care for folks, is to make certain that pre-existing illnesses and injuries are covered. But there are ways to do that without putting the government in charge. And that's the important thing, the take home message that people need to get.
Do you miss being a member of Congress, Tom? Or do you look at the news every day and say, man, I'm glad I'm out of there?
I think there was somebody who once said, I don't miss the zoo, but I miss the clowns.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, we got some clowns in there, like our friends Ann Wagner and Roddy Davis is a good friend. They're fun, and I can call them clowns every once in a while, too. Tom Price, Congressman Price, I appreciate coming on here this afternoon, and keep in touch. Thanks for everything.
Thanks so much. Be well.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, 345, Mark Reardon, 97.1 FM Talk. Phil Holloway is going to join me in the next hour. He's a legal analyst, former police officer, and he represents, actually, this might be Georgia Day, because we had Tom Price on, represents the Sheriff's Department in Georgia. He has some thoughts on what's happening in Minnesota. Charlie Gasparino, senior correspondent for Fox Business Network, also coming up here this afternoon as well. Let's talk baseball with my pal, Ricky Horton, former Cardinals pitcher and Cardinals broadcaster on the radio and the TV side. Rick, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. Always good to visit with you.
I'm heading to the game tonight. It's my birthday, Rick Horton, so my wife is taking me to the game.
How about that? Well, the perfect way to celebrate your birthday, number one, your wife is smart. Number two, I think you're going to have a great experience being there. It has been so cool for me, and I think the fans at the ballpark, just to have that experience. I know the players love it, the coaches and the managers, all of them love it, but I just think it's just so great to be out at the ballpark again, and I hope you have a great night.
So I had a – and I know what you're saying here, and I think a lot of people are – maybe I hadn't even thought about it on this angle, but I had a very liberating experience when I went on vacation a couple weeks ago because I was in an outdoor setting, very private, didn't have to wear masks very often except if we went into a store or something like that. But what we have yet to do, unless you've been to a Cardinals game or maybe a Blues game, is experience that communal atmosphere with a bunch of other people. And mind you, it's not going to be 45,000 people, but haven't done that in a year. And you kind of just reminded me of that.
Well, I think you will find that to be the case at Busch Stadium. And, you know, it isn't saying that there hasn't been, you know, common sense to protocols and all those things along the way and masks and all that. I mean, we all understand that, you know, we've had to do what we've had to do. But the fact that, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel, there's hope. And I think to be a little philosophical about it here, I mean, I think we're created to be social animals here. And I just think to not have that connection, I think we've missed it more than we thought we have. Now I'm kind of I can be kind of a recluse at times. I'm a little melancholy in my personality, to be blunt about it. But I can tell you that, you know, I would think, well, I don't have to be around people a lot. But boy, did I miss it. And I've noticed the difference in mood and just, you know, connecting with people I haven't seen that I know well, haven't seen for 9 months or longer. It's just kind of a cool thing.
Well, and I thought everything, you know, the experience of bringing the broadcast to fans last year still worked pretty well on television and the radio. I think it worked great, and we were so glad to have that. But now you don't have the fake fan noise. You got real fan noise for the first time in a while. And again, I think we've all heard this, even though it's not a packed stadium, those fans are pretty loud, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And you can tell the difference because it's not it doesn't sound as disconnected to what's actually going on. And the real people that can tell the difference are the players on the field. You know, I talked to a lot of them this winter and got the message from them that look, you know, on a ground ball to short and the fans noise there, that doesn't make a difference.
Right,
If I strike out the side to end an inning in an important game and it's the seventh and you don't and you get crickets, it just is not what you expect it to be. Mark, think about all the young players last year that were rookies that never played in front of fans in their major league debuts. Now they're getting to do it. So I know that there's a deeper feeling for those guys as they go to the ballpark, and now their parents can be there, and their girlfriend or their wife or their brother or his sister. I mean, it's just a very, very different experience.
You know, one of the things, and you and I may have talked about this before, and I always found this stunning when I started thinking about it, going back to last year, especially with the Cardinals in the COVID break that they had. But these players were not even, outside of being on the field, they weren't even really able to have any experiences together as a team. And that's changed now, hasn't it?
It has. Well, you know, now, once you got past the, I guess, the 85% of guys being vaccinated on the team, that's kind of the threshold. They can do some more things together. And, you know, it's still not 100% open to do whatever you want to do. But you know, that was stunning to me, Frank, last year. I would say we did the best we could with them, and I hope fans enjoyed actually having something. I'm not sure that's sustainable for very long to not be, you know, for me not to have a face-to-face conversation with Mike Schilt for over a year, and he's the guy I'm talking about. Like, what's he thinking here? I mean, I need to be with these guys, and we need to travel with them. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. But the travel – as I've come to learn, wasn't really worth doing last year for sure, because the players said, players use the word lonely to me. They said on the road it was lonely because it's basically me, my box lunch that was put at my door, and a, you know, a message for, and a Zoom call and a message on when to get a bus to the ballpark and sit away from people. I mean, it was not a social experience for them at all.
So, and I think the only thing you left out of that one is then they had to swab up their nose pretty much every day, right?
Right. They had a few of those. Yeah, they did. So my understanding is you get used to that. My son's an actor out in Hollywood, and every time he does a job, he's got to get that. I think he's up over 40. So, I mean, he kind of get used to it.
Maybe you get used to it. However, this is what I tell you. You know, I had to have one of those to come back to the country when I was in Mexico, and just talking about this experience and mentioning the swab gives me that tickle in my nose. So
yeah,
it's not
a pleasant thing. I've had it and it was not, you know, not pleasant, but, and you wouldn't want to have it every day. And of course the players had to put up with a lot of things too, Mark,
right.
Even beyond that. I mean, just, you know, and these are young guys. I mean, these are, you know, 24-year-old people, you know, they're just in the height of their physical prime and they're just kind of, they got no place to go, nothing to do. It just really, I'm sure, very, very tough on them.
Now, you, just as a point of clarification, television and radio not traveling to the away games right now?
Correct. As of now, I mean, both television and radio not traveling. And that's true universally in baseball because of the protocol. And I know there's a lot of hope that changes. But as of now, that's the way it is.
Well, let's talk a little bit about baseball right now, and not all of it is positive. There's a headline in our local paper that says Cardinals Carpenter finally gets a hit but remains under the microscope. I would argue that's not the best headline for anyone in Major League Baseball. And then, Rick, Paul DeJong, what the hell is going on there? He is such an important component to this lineup, and you tell me what's happening.
Well, you know, first of all, I'm really happy when we'll talk about Paul DeJong. I'm happy that Mike Schilt took him out of the cleanup spot. I just think there's always pressure associated with that. Now, Paul's not a pressure guy necessarily, but, you know, everybody gets, you know, you get dejected when you make an out, and it's a game of failure. Then you make another, and you make another, and you make another. And, you know, he's been striking out a lot. And that's one thing that he was bound and determined this winter to cut down on. And whether there's a mechanical flaw that he's got to get right or it's a timing thing, you know, I know the pitcher equivalent a lot better. Sometimes there's literally just the nuance of difference on how you land your front foot, when you land your front foot, where your elbow is positioned with your shoulder, you know, how high it all. I mean, there's so many details about that. And there's details like that in the swing that I think he's just, you know, kind of off, like a golfer would say, off plane. And so, you know, I don't think he's having trouble seeing the ball. He's a little late a lot. But, you know, he is a pro. He hit 30 home runs a couple years ago. So, you know, he has it in him. And, you know, Carp on the other side of that is a guy that's, you know, just trying to find his way as well. It's interesting. He had a bunt base hit yesterday. And fans have been clamoring for people to bunt more against the shift, and he got kind of rewarded for that. We'll see if that continues.
The rotation right now is obviously not going as well as planned either. So
no.
Who's going tonight? I should know this, but who's going tonight?
Well, it's Jack Flaherty tonight, and he's got a chance to do what, you know, you'd hope a guy of his stature would do. It'd be a stopper. I mean, that's a phrase we used to use where, you know, teams go in the right direction. The Cardinals have lost three straight, but then you have your ace out there and he just dominates and you feel good again. And, you know, Jack needs to be that guy for the Cardinals to be successful. He's got the ability to do that. And you know, your comments about the starting rotation, it's just not been a strong suit yet in the early going. Too many games where you got to go to the bullpen in the fifth or sixth inning, and that's not sustainable over time.
I don't want to only talk about the negative, though. I mean, there's a lot of positive here. Yachty gets a huge homer on Monday, and then Nolan Arenado in that big home run last week was just epic. I had just gotten into the car getting off work at 6 o'clock, and I heard John and Mike with the call on that home run, and it was just, it sent, you know, I got chill bumps when I heard that call.
Opening day could not have been any better. I mean, you could not have scripted it any better. The guy that you get does exactly what you expect him to do. It happens with a late home run. Fans in the ballpark for the first time. I mean, it was, I mean, it was really magical. And maybe there's just a little bit of an opening day hangover since then. I don't know, but that moment was terrific. And Arenado is a terrific player, defensively, offensively, fun to watch. And Yachty, as you mentioned, does not show any sign of aging. So there's always positives. And you know, I think Tommy Edmonds swinging the bat well, and I just think, you know, the team got it. Obviously, they have to hit a little better. You've had a couple of injuries. Harrison Bader out now. Tyler O'Neill out. Every team's got that, Mark, as you know.
Yeah, no, of course.
And But talk about strong points. The strong point is Hicks, Reyes, Cabrera, Gallegos. I mean, those four, at least in the pen, are, you know, just have the potential to be nasty every night.
Well, at least we don't live in a city where the fan base freaks out about every little thing and is super negative and starts calling for Mo's head, you know, 10 games into the season.
Right.
Things like that. You know, that won't happen here in St. Louis, so all will be well. But we're just glad to have baseball back, and I'm looking forward to being at that game tonight. Rick Horton, thanks for coming on this afternoon. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Mark. Have fun tonight.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.